Hello and welcome to the Red Leaf Card, your home for Canadian soccer news and views. My name is Jacob, and today we have a guest on our show is Isaac Donnelly, who is a broadcaster for Richmond Royals and the co-host of the Blue Line Report. So nice to having you, Isaac, on the Red Leaf Card.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to it.
So talk about the podcast Blue Line Report.
Well, the Blue Line Report initially started off with my co-host Jack Daly back in 2020. It was him and another guy by the name of Owen O'Kane who ran the show. It started off as a strictly hockey platform. Meanwhile, I was experimenting with my own show at the time, and the Blue Line Report was inactive for a little bit. Then Jack Bailey and I, we've known each other since elementary school. We're talking about putting out something, and then asked me if I'd like to join the show. And I said, yeah, we tweaked stuff around a little bit, started trying to cover multiple sports, and we're here now. And yeah, show's still going good. Haven't been able to pump out as much content as we like, but we're still working on it for all the BLR listeners out there.
Yep, and lots of podcasters out there trying to get their motive to get the exposure out there and bring in some good news out there. But some good news from Canadian Premier League for Atletico Ottawa. Cooking it in there. But not just that, the Canadian national team winning 2-0. Against Trinidad Tobago, that will qualify them to the Copa America. And I also keep on forgetting the fixtures rundown. Club de Foot Montreal lost to Chicago Fire 3-4. New York City FC wins to Toronto FC 2-1. Whitecaps beat FC Dallas. But on this week, Toronto FC defeated Atlanta United 2-0. Whitecaps lost to Real Salt Lake 2-1 at BC Place. And now to the men's national team against Trinidad Tobago 2-0. What was your reaction that Canada goes to Copa America and they will be facing Argentina, Peru national teams there, and it will be versing Lionel Messi?
Yeah, honestly, it's just a big sigh of relief, I feel like, for most Canadian footy heads out there. I mean, there was doubt heading into this match about what Mauro Biello was going to, what he was going to put out. I think he did a good job of making those changes. I think putting Crepo between the sticks was a good decision. Brought up a lot of young talent, and they pulled it out. Yeah, I feel like it's just a big sigh of relief, because if had they didn't win yesterday, I feel like Canada soccer would be making a lot of enemies out there. And I didn't want to come onto this thing this morning and just to complain about Canada soccer, so I'm happy they got the win so I can be positive. But yeah, massive win, really looking forward to how they perform in Copa America to tune up for the 2026 World Cup.
Yeah, not just we've seen a lot of some fans kind of make the mixed emotions of how the match performed. Still, people say Mauro Biello should have been his last match in this performance. What you thought? Should Mauro Biello still take his Inter coaching spot, or should find a new head coach for the national team?
I think they should still find a new coach for the national team. I think Mauro Biello's done a pretty good job for the role he's been given. I'm just unsure of his consistency in terms of what he puts out on the field. Am I thinking Canada's going to bring in like a massive name like Carlo Ancelotti? I don't really think so, as much as it's fun to think about that. But I feel like Canada should find a new head coach for the men's program. I think that's been clear from day one, as soon as Mauro Biello was announced as the interim head coach. So there's a lot of names being thrown around, like Bobby Smyrdiotis. I think, honestly, is a fitting candidate for just what he's done with Forge alone. There's a lot of names you can still throw out there into the mix, but I truly believe the men's program should find a new permanent head coach leading into this World Cup.
Yeah, and it's going to be great out there of maybe the Canadian Soccer Association trying to find some new head coaches, trying to pick one out of the hats, trying to find some names. And Copa America is a big one. It is a big one. You're going to be having big name countries that you're going to be versing, and you would have to find and trying to willingly find a good coach that could verse those teams. You would have to have a good one. And not just that, that who should be in the squad for Copa America. I think Lucas McNaughton would be a good one, since he was been hassled for Lionel Messi during the League's Cup when Nashville was versing Inter Miami. What was your thoughts on this one? You think Lucas McNaughton should be in the national team?
Absolutely. I think he's proven himself already, and like, again, he's been exceptional so far this season in MLS, and especially a lot of the Argentinian fans on social media getting angry over some Canadian kid. Just, again, was it intentional? We don't know. I don't think so. But sometimes stuff happens, and it just happened to be on one of the greatest players of all time. So obviously there'd be outrage for that, but I think Lucas McNaughton has proven himself so far, and I'd love to see him go at it in the Copa America.
Yeah, and not just that. One of the national team players, Alfonso Davis, he's staying in Bayern Munich, and there was some agreements, trying to find agreement with Real Madrid, and they couldn't agree with the terms of how much money that how much they would pay him for. And they said, hey, you know what? We're going to give you a better deal to stay in Bayern Munich. What's your thoughts on this one? Alfonso Davis staying in Bayern Munich.
I think it's a good fit overall. I mean, let's be real. Alfonso Davies can fit in any squad in any given day. But I feel like with him staying at Bayern, I think is what I preferred. Again, he's loved it there. He's endeared himself to the supporters over there from day one. He's been their star left back for quite a few years now. And I feel like he's only going to get better, as he's still stupid young. And at the same time, I feel like every star ends up at Real Madrid at one point, so it makes me happy to see one not heading there for the moment, especially with the Mbappe rumors. But again, soccer is a sport full of transfer rumors. But I like him staying at Bayern. I think it's a perfect fit.
Yeah, every single time the quest for Alfonso Davis going to Real Madrid be like, maybe this is going to be this year that Alfonso Davis goes to Real Madrid. Didn't do well. That didn't came true. Next season, Real Madrid didn't work out. And then the next season, that'll be this time. Now there was some sources coming out that he might have a deal with it, but nope, Bayern Munich rejected. He's staying in Bayern Munich for another year. And to be honest, he did really well with Bayern Munich. Won the club FIFA Club World Cup, and that's one of the greatest accomplishments, and also the UEFA Champions League.
Yeah, he's done it all with Bayern, and I mean, and Bayern's on a team that's going to be slowing down in the near future. They're always up there in the Bundesliga table. As much as you want to joke about the Harry Kane curse, but again, Bayern's a club that's done it all and doesn't look like they're going to stop in the next few years. So it's still a wicked spot for him to be in.
So thinking about one of the greatest for Alfonso Davies, but it's winding up to the like one of the greatest rosters in the Canadian Premier League, Atletico Ottawa. And some friendlies came out, as noticed, from the Canadian Premier League. Ottawa was versing the under 23 Atletico San Luis 2-0, which Ottawa won to them. Tigres was versing York United, and Tigres beated them 1-0. Calvary FC was versing Inter de Querétaro, which was a third division league in Mexico, 2-1. And also Atletico Ottawa drawn with the Liga MX team, which was the first team, Atletico San Luis, with one apiece. And right now, if you, like at this time, York United will be versing the under 23 Monterrey. And right now, when I see Atletico Ottawa versing Liga MX team, the first team, and you're looking at it, these friendlies right now that are not in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, like you usually see Forge FC, now you're seeing Calvary FC. Is Atletico Ottawa right now, when they signed these players, for right now they've reloaned Luke Sink, they've just signed Manny Aparicio, is going to be now the top paid players in the Canadian Premier League. It's now, you're looking at the Atletico Ottawa roster, could be most dominant, but you have to wait and see in the season. What's your reaction to Atletico Ottawa's now?
Well, it's no secret that I love what I'm seeing right now from Atleti. I mean, they knew they had to fix what was the mess of last season. You know, you had fans were coming out in record numbers, but yet they couldn't score a goal in the dying minutes or close out a game. They knew they needed to come back with vengeance, and I think they're doing that. I don't think they're done yet. They obviously brought back Balu Tabla, Luke Singh, and of course Manny Aparicio, and the Didich rumors too. But again, I feel like this is Atletico using its brand to its fullest, and in the efforts of trying to put out a CPL super team this coming season. I feel like the bare minimum for what I think is a fair expectation for them is to at least get into the final again. I think that's the bare minimum of what needs to be done for Atletico Ottawa this season, but I don't think they're done making signings yet. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see with the Amir Didich rumors and if they're going to spruce up that back end a little more, but I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. And again, opening day is only a few weeks away, so they're gonna have to announce the rest of these signings soon and officially announce what they're gonna do with the contracts of Malcolm Shaw as well too.
Yeah, not just that, of the signings that happened in the Canadian Premier League, now the transfers. York United just lost Jose de Rosario, one of the best York United players, and he's going to the Major League Soccer Next Pro. And Forge FC also signed a player from Monterrey. And thinking of the other player, other teams out there, of who they're going to be, who they're going to try to find a good player that might outperform Atletico Ottawa.
I feel like you still can't rule out Forge. I mean, as much as a lot of fans around the league that aren't from Hamilton or Forge supporters and that, right, can't stand seeing Forge win. And I agree with them. I can't stand seeing them win either. But I feel like no matter what any team does in the CPL, you still have to look at Forge as the favorites. They've won 4 out of 5 CPL finals. Bobby Smyrdiotis knows how to run his club, as we've seen. And to me, they're still the favorites. I don't think they'll ever be the favorites until there's like back-to-back seasons where they're not in the final. Yeah, again, as much as I think Atletico Ottawa could very well challenge Forge this year, I still can't rule them out. If anything, I feel like Atletico Ottawa will win the league the regular season again, and I feel like Forge will take the final like they usually do. But again, I feel like you can't rule out Forge. Cavalry is another team that I feel like people are sleeping on. They've been looking really good, and York United flexing their Mexican connections. So again, a lot of teams you can't rule out, as I feel like this could be the most competitive CPL season to date.
Yeah, and you think of Forge FC. Still, Bobby Smeriones still has not won a Coach of the Year award. And it does question a lot. When is going to be that time Bobby Smeriones is going to be just snubbed from winning the Coach of the Year? It's been so many seasons that like, for example, Bobby Smeriones should have won that Coach of the Year in one of the previous seasons. So, which season do you think that Bobby Smeriones should have won?
You can look at a lot of seasons where he should have won. I feel like in 2021 or 2022, I would say, should have been his year. I mean, last year, I feel like Tommy Wilden Jr. absolutely deserved it. Calvary was absolutely steamrolling the CPL last season. But again, Bobby Smeriotis has been snubbed Smeriotis has been snubbed for a while now, and he's due for that award. I mean, you look at this Forge FC team from day one of the CPL, nothing's really changed over there. They've had relatively the same core group of players from day one of that club, and players clearly love playing for him, because a lot of players who have been through the Forge system could very well play MLS or elsewhere. And when you see a lot of teams with their talent, that's the curse of not being in a quite as an established league yet, is a lot of teams will be looking to poach all your talent in these smaller leagues. So Bobby Smeriotis has managed to keep that all the way through day one. And I feel like 2022 should have been his year, as much as I'd hate to say it because Cargo won it. But yeah.
Well, to be honest, the time that Carlos Gonzalez won the Coach of the Year, I think, no doubt, I think Carlos Gonzalez should have won Coach of the Year in the 2022 season. And 2023, I accept that Wilden Jr. won that Coach of the Year. But here's a season that I think that Bobby Smeriotis should have won Coach of the Year. 2020.
That's right. The Island Games.
And he got snubbed with Halifax Wanderers head coach Stephen Hart. And I feel like, yeah, you would think that Halifax Wanderers, yeah, Stephen Hart does deserve Coach of the Year at that season, since the Halifax Wanderers have improved during that season to make it to the finals. But it's always that round of the table. You think of voting, you're having a team that has repeatedly won the championship for the Canadian Premier League, and you're shaking to your head. Have we messed up the votings that Forge FC has won repeatedly, and we're just undergrading one of our coaches here? It's like 2024, if Forge FC wins again, if Forge FC wins the regular season, and Atletico Ottawa is just like, they won the playoffs, and Carlos Gonzalez wins their coach of the year, and be thinking about, oh, man, we downgrade. We are just the haters of Forge FC.
Here's the thing. When you think of managers in the CPL, the first name that will come to mind for like 9 out of 10 people will be Bobby Smyrniotis. I mean, this is a guy who's repeatedly, as you said, won. He's been to played in CONCACAF a lot, right?
In the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Yeah, he's the only manager in the CPL that's taken his team there repeatedly.
And now Tom Wheeldon Jr. with his first appearance in this current year. So now you're having the top two best CPL coaches who've now featured in an appearance in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And not just that, you have Bobby Smyrniotis, who featured in the finals for the Canadian Championship and almost beat the Toronto FC.
Yeah, I feel like the one thing that's holding him back is that is their regular season. I feel like a lot of voters will look at how Forge perform in the regular season. They see them not finishing at the top, and they're like, okay, well, we're going to give it to Tommy or Carlos or whoever it may be, or Steven Hart. But I feel like if anything's holding Bobby back from winning that Coach of the Year, it's that regular season title, which I think is blasphemous that is the reason that's holding him back. Because, like, yet again, people, including myself, can dislike Forge all they want, but they can't argue the fact that Bobby Smyrniotis is a world-class manager in the CPL. Yeah. And that the fact he hasn't won Coach of the Year yet is honestly just plain stupidity.
So all those, not just Carlos Gonzalez, Tommy Wheeldon Jr., and Steven Hart won, Palma with the calm, also won it, and he's been successful at the time. Now he's been with in Major League Soccer, and now you're thinking it really is the time that Canadian Premier League has maybe one of the best coaches out there. But lots of people are saying maybe Bobby Smyrniotis should be in the running for the Canadian national team coach.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, again, you could just base his entire resume of what he's done with Forge alone, even like dating way back to like his League One days. He's an established name throughout the Canadian football landscape. I mean, again, if the men's national team looks for a new head coach, I highly doubt it's going to be some massive name from overseas. Like, a lot of people like to throw in Carlo Ancelotti in there for a bunch of numerous reasons, a lot of rumors around that. But I feel like if there's a right way to do things internally, it would be to hire Bobby Smyrniotis.
Yeah, not just that. There was also Toronto FC. Some TFC fans thought of bringing Bobby Smyrniotis as the head coach. But now you have John Herdman. Well, we have one of the best men's national team coaches out there. Now, Toronto FC is doing really successful with John Herdman. I do have a question about this one. Do you think Toronto FC might actually do really well this upcoming season? In this season?
They have all the right ingredients for success. They did last year. It was just the manager situation was just a complete mess. They held on to Bob Bradley way too long. And again, after they sacked him, I feel like that was when their window for getting in was shut. And we knew that this season there had to be changes. And one thing I noticed that John Herdman does really well is the way he handles star players. I mean, if you just look at the facial expressions of Insigne and Bernadeschi now, they look so much more happier enjoying their football this year as opposed to last year. So TFC, like, they're off to a great start. And I don't think they're going to slow down. I think they're going to make some noise in MLS this year. Do I think they're going to win it all? No. But are they going to give some people a hard time? Absolutely.
Yeah. And could be a possibility of a success in the Canadian Championship for this for the 2024 Canadian Championship. And just have to wait and see of how they do well in there. There's a lot of good competitive teams out there, and right now they're going to be versing the League One Ontario team versus Simcoe County, and they're really been really bringing some heat and really been competitive in the season. And now there's been an announcement in League One Ontario for the championship division. The TFC Academy returns to League One Ontario. So they've been a long time. They take a hiatus with League One Ontario for MLS, and then now they're back. So your reaction to TFC returning to League One Ontario?
I feel like I don't know much about League One, so I don't really have much of an opinion on it, but I feel like, again, as long as that level of football in Canada is in a good space, I think it's a win for the landscape of soccer here in this country. I mean, League One doesn't get talked about a lot. That's why not a lot of people really know about it. But again, I feel like having a presence like TFC down there is a big boost for that part of Canadian soccer, and it's a great way for TFC to get a lot of their young prospects some minutes. It's still quite competitive in League One, and yeah, I feel like it's a good decision there overall from the TFC Academy. But I'm really looking forward to watching Simcoe County Rovers at BMO Field. Like, again, I already rumblings about they're aiming to have 2,000 supporters show up to BMO with 800 tickets already sold in that away end. So what an opportunity for them to potentially upset a giant in TFC.
Well, not just seeing League One Canada teams that just upsetted some teams. TSS Rovers from last season upsetted Valor FC. Right now, I'm hoping to see some wow of the TFC team versus Simcoe County Rovers. And there's been a lot. As noticed, some people recognize some League One Ontario teams. I know one team who used to be part of League One Ontario, now they're in League One Quebec.
OSU.
Yep. Ottawa South United. Now they're with League One Quebec, affiliated with Atletico Ottawa. And I know lots of people look at that team, Ottawa South United, has not done really well in their previous seasons. They've been not doing really successfully, but they've been a really supportive team, supportive base in previous years. What do you think of Ottawa South United? What do you think that they should improve to being one of the top teams for League One Quebec?
I personally think OSU has one of the best organizations in the city in terms of, like, just like the ultimate grassroots level of football. And I feel like Atletico partnering with them was an absolute home run. To bolster that squad, I don't really know what needs to be done. There's a lot of talent around League One. A lot of those players have had brief stints in the CPL that have had professional minutes under their belt. If Atletico Ottawa was really trying to bolster that part of the program, you're going to have to do your absolute best to try to lure as much local talent as possible. I mean, that's what makes a lot of Ottawa teams in the area successful, is having that local talent. I mean, we saw it with the Fury when they were around. They had a lot of local players. Atletico Ottawa is starting to follow suit with that. And I feel like with Ottawa South United, they just got to stick with what's around them, because I know they can make it work. I'm not doubting the talent in the Ottawa area. It's just going, finding that talent and getting them to commit.
Yeah. So I'm hoping every single team out there from League One Canada, also from Canadian Premier League and in Major League Soccer, Canadian teams improve for their upcoming season. And that's full time of the Red League Card. I'm your host, Jacob, subbing out.